O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men through Christ our Lord. Amen. At this, Peter took him by the arm and began to rebuke him. Heaven forbid, he said. No, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Then Jesus turned and said to Peter, Away with you, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You think as men think, not as God thinks. There is one emotion that seems to rule the world. That emotion is anger. There is not one of us who have come to church today that has not experienced anger, either as the one who expresses it, or the one who receives it, or both. We cannot pick up a newspaper, watch a news program, listen to talk radio, without experiencing a variety of expressions of anger. Sometimes anger moves into rage that becomes destructive. Sometimes it is creative and seeks to remedy a wrong. Today's gospel reading, which you just heard read, is a snapshot of Jesus and Peter both experiencing anger. Jesus expressing it to Peter, and Peter experiencing it firsthand from Jesus. What a contrast from last week's gospel reading. Last week, Peter was complimented by Jesus as the rock upon which the church would be built. Today's reading, Jesus calls him a name, Satan, and orders him out of his sight. Quite a contrast between these two snapshots of Jesus and Peter. One of the enduring myths of many Christians is the belief that following Jesus means always being nice, never being angry or showing anger. Sincere Christians generally are very nice people and a pleasure to know. In being guided by Jesus' teachings to offer unlimited forgiveness, we mistakenly believe this leaves no room for feeling or expressing anger. Today's gospel reading from Matthew puts that myth to rest. Jesus was angry. Feeling and expressing anger is an essential part of what it means to be human. Feeling and expressing anger is also an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. A church that cannot appropriately get angry at the evils of this world is not a strong body of Christ. A follower of Jesus who does not feel deeply angry with man's continuing inhumanity to man is failing to take up his cross and follow Jesus. If being nice alone could change the world, then the Canadians, Quakers, and Amish could rule the world. Today's reading reaffirms the legitimacy of feeling and expressing anger. We can't duck the fact that Jesus was angry. We Christians have great difficulty talking about it and addressing it in a very well in ourselves and in each other. What is anger? According to the experts, anger describes the emotion as a primary natural emotion which has evolved as a way of surviving and protecting yourself from what is considered a wrongdoing. It is embedded in nature as well. Dogs growl at the presence of a stranger and can viciously attack if they feel you are an enemy. You don't want to mess with Mama Bear and her cubs. Feeling angry is legitimate. How we express it is critical. And we have found a multitude of inappropriate ways of expressing anger. The first, maybe in importance, may be called displaced anger. Anger that does not belong in the present situation. This is illustrated in today's gospel. Jesus had been talking with his disciples about going to Jerusalem and what that means. He expects to suffer much from the elders, chief priests, and the doctors of law. He also expects to be killed. That is enough to upset anyone, including Jesus. Feeling the immense weight of those impending events, Jesus dumped a lot of his anger on Peter. Peter did not deserve it. Jesus called him a name and ordered him out of his sight. Then he criticized him for not thinking like God thinks. This is a clear example from Scripture of Jesus' humanity. That should be very reassuring to us as followers. Would we really want Jesus to be going through the motions and not feeling the emotions of being human like us? Jesus loses nothing in importance to me in feeling like we do. This is one instance, one snapshot of Jesus. He did go to Jerusalem. He was falsely accused by the chief priests and doctors of the law. He was killed in the cruelest of ways, hanging on a cross in a public place. But it is from that cross that he shared with all humanity the mind of God. What he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Displaced anger is an inappropriate way of expressing anger. I shudder to remember the times when my anger was aimed at someone who was vulnerable and innocent. The target of my misplaced anger could have been a stranger, could have been my wife, was my wife, my children, the dog or cat, or my computer. Irrational beliefs about the other person is also a sign of inappropriate expression of anger. Jesus expected and criticized Peter for not thinking like God thinks. What a requirement! But this is one chapter, one incident in the Jesus story. It is not the final chapter. Continuing to be a disciple of Jesus, Peter did come to think as God thinks and as Jesus taught, becoming the apostle upon which the church was built. Inappropriate expressions of anger also include the dismissal of the other person as unworthy of relationship. Again, Jesus called Peter a name, Satan, and told Peter that he wanted him out of his sight. This is excessive anger. It doesn't belong. Severing a relationship out of anger is always self-defeating. No one wins. Are there any of these statements familiar to you in our culture and in our homes? Go to your room and I don't want to see you again until you fill in the blank. How can you be so stupid not to understand fill in the blank? You make me so mad when you do that. Fill in the blank. You get the idea. These are inappropriate ways of expressing anger. What are some of the appropriate ways of expressing anger? A helpful metaphor to me to understand anger is to see it as an emotional stop sign. An expression of anger is saying, stop, look, and listen. First of all, we must stop. We must practice restraint. Like driving a car, if we blow through a stop sign, chances are pretty high that someone will get hurt. And that happens in life as well. It is helpful to pause, to take a time out. Let the emotions calm down. Reflect. It is important not to rush to judgment when we are angry. Another way to take a time out is to find the humor in the situation. Humor takes the sting out of the anger. It reshapes our perspective. One of our very incisive comedians, George Carlin, put it this way in dealing with one's anger: take the things that drive you nuts and make them funny. Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay, became the Olympic heavyweight champion of the world. He decided to change his name because he perceived Christianity as pretty much a white religion. He looked at the picture of Jesus hanging in his church and noticed he was white. He looked at the description of the Last Supper and noticed all the disciples were white. He began to wonder, as a dark-skinned man, just where does he fit in? So he turned to a religion of many dark-skinned people, Islam, and took the name of Muhammad Ali. After becoming the heavyweight champion of the world, he began to, quote, feel his oats, as they say. He began to publicly say, with a twinkle in his eye, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And this is a quote from him. I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was. I figured that if I said it enough, I would convince the world that I really was the greatest. Behind that public image, he truly believed that the attitudes of white America would change because of his Olympic achievement, and he would find widespread acceptance. When he came back to America from the Olympics, he stopped in a restaurant in his hometown to get a cup of coffee. The waitress came over and said, "We don't serve Negroes." Without missing a beat, Ali said, "I don't eat them either. I just want a coffee." Humor is a very great creative response to anger. We are blessed in America with an incisive humor of our John Stewarts, Robin Williams, George Carlins, Stephen Colbert's, and many, many others. Seeing the humor in a situation is a very effective response to the things that make people angry. Seeing the humor in an angry situation is excellent, but not enough. It diffuses the tension, but does not change the conditions that caused it. When we are in the stop sign of anger, we must stop, listen in every direction. We must commit to understanding the real reasons behind the anger. If we don't, we simply continue to repeat the history that created it. Stephen Covey, the highly respected leadership coach and writer, wrote a world-renowned book entitled The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Fifth habit is this: seek first to understand and then be understood. This is an indispensable skill for an effective leader, and it is a powerful way to address anger. This is anger management at its best. It takes seriously the anger of the other person. It does not minimize or dismiss another's reasons for being angry. It seeks understanding. It is powered by empathy. It results in reestablishing relationships and seeks solutions that prompted the anger. Imagine how different life could be if we practiced that one skill. What a different world we could experience if we sought understanding instead of projecting evil upon the other person or nation, calling names, belittling the feeling and its causes. What an important opportunity to discover aspects of ourselves as well as the other person. There is a deep truth in human relationships. We are either part of the solution or we are part of the problem. Reflect upon the news of the world during these past 2 weeks. How would we in Phoenixville feel if one of our young people of color was shot 6 times in the face, in the front, by one of our police officers and left to die on Bridge Street for 4 hours? With empathy, that doesn't have to happen for us to understand how the community of Ferguson feels today. Had the police department of Ferguson, Missouri, attempted, even in a clear, small way, sought to understand the community's anger, the events of the past 2 weeks could have been very, very different. Instead, the response was military force, added to local policing, sending the unmistakable message, we are tougher than you, and we can put you down at will. Some of the officers' comments at the scene echoed the same message. The people of Ferguson got that message, and they do feel put down. A scene repeated over and over again in our cities with the same results, once again illustrating the definition of our insanity, repeating the same behavior and expecting a different outcome. There is a better way. He may have been just another successful lawyer who made a lot of money, But because of racial prejudice in South Africa, he was subjected to humiliation within a week of his arrival. He was thrown off a train because of the color of his skin. And it humiliated him so much that he sat on the platform of the station all night, wondering what he could do to gain justice. His first response was one of anger. He was so angry that he wanted an eye for an eye justice. He wanted to respond violently to the people who had humiliated him. But he stopped himself and said, "That is not right. It is not going to get him any justice." His second response was to want to go back to India and live among his own people in dignity. He ruled that out also. He said, "You can't run away from your problems. You've got to stay and face the problems." That's when the third response dawned on him, the response of nonviolent action. From that point onwards, he developed the philosophy of nonviolence and practiced it in his life as well as in his search for justice in South Africa. He ended up staying in that country for 22 years, and then he went and led his own people in a movement in India to independence from the British. Gandhi had turned his anger into passion for justice and for the common good, and elevated nonviolence as the most powerful way in the world to right a wrong. This is the gift of anger. When we turn it into passion, do you want to find your purpose in life? Do you want to change the world for the better? Engage life fully till you find yourself deeply angry. Turn that anger into passion, and you will change the world. Jesus did, countless others have, and you can too.